first thing that comes to your mind? It may just say something about me, but when I think of the word wrestle, the 70s come to mind, and the great, historic, legendary UK wrestlers. There may be a picture of them coming up, maybe. Oh, look at them. Anyone recognise any of those? Yes, oh my goodness. Yeah. Mick McManus. Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks. Oh, some legends of, you know, forget this American WWE stuff, man. And this was the real deal back in the 70s, wasn't it? And, you know, as kids, me and my brother, we'd watch the wrestling on the TV with my nan and granddad. My granddad was a great sports fan, so he watched loads of stuff. But my nan loved the wrestling. And if you remember, when you saw it on the TV, often there'd be lots of old women around the ring. And when the bad guys fell out of the ring, they would whack them over the head with their handbags, wouldn't they? It was great entertainment, fantastic stuff. And we loved it. And as kids, my brother and I wrestled as well. Well, I mean, I say I wrestled. Basically, what it meant was that I'd be pinned to the floor and in some weird position, and pain would be inflicted upon me until I said stop. That was pretty much how it went, because he was older and bigger and stronger. But it was fun, kind of. Wrestling has been going on for years, isn't it? You know, ancient armies trained their soldiers to wrestle hand-to-hand combat. The Greeks turned it into an Olympic sport, and it still is today. Hundreds of years later, it's amazing, isn't it, that wrestling is an Olympic sport. Can you imagine Big Daddy, you know, as the Olympic champion? I mean, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But it's an important thing that we're going to think about today, because as Christians, we're called to wrestle. So does that mean that we should do away with the chairs and that every Sunday we get a mat out on the floor and that we basically just wrestle each other? This could get interesting. We could have kind of like inter-church wrestling matches, you know, different age groups, gender, you know, it could be great. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got one person who's up for it. And in fact, you can wrestle my brother who's sitting next to you. Yeah, maybe get some payback. And now there are a number of different references to wrestling when it comes to the Bible. Of course, most famously, there's the image of Jacob wrestling with the man who turns out to be God. But this morning, I want us to just focus on one verse, and it's from Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And it's the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers in Colossae. And Paul is encouraging them to stay strong, to stay firm. And he writes this in verse 12. He says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." Epaphras, who's obviously been part of the church in Colossae, or certainly he was from that area, so he knew the place and they knew him possibly. Paul is saying, this guy, he's one of you, and he's now with me. He's helping me with the ministry, with the mission, but he's one of you, and he loves you, and his heart is for you, and every single day he's praying for you, but he's doing more than that. He's wrestling in prayer for you, and he's praying that you would stand firm in the will of God and you'd be mature and fully assured in your faith. I wonder if you've ever thought about prayer being something that you have to wrestle in. Every single one of us, I'm sure, knows that prayer is important. And as Arles and Jeff had that in that conversation, Arles was telling Jeff, you know, it's about relationship, isn't it? At the heart of our relationship with God is prayer. It's communication. It's both talking and listening to God. It's a two-way thing. And just like in any relationship, if you want to get to know somebody, if you really want to know their heart, you want to know what they're about, you want to know their dreams, the things that give them joy, the things that give them anxiety, then you need to spend time with them. You need to listen to them and hear their story as well as you speaking. And it's the same with us with God, isn't it? That's what prayer is. We're doing that. But prayer also is even deeper than that. And sometimes prayer isn't the easiest thing. Who finds prayer really easy? Anyone? Who finds prayer actually pretty tough? It's pretty challenging, isn't it? It's not the easiest thing to do. And the reason why I think it is challenging at times and it is a struggle at times is because the reality is we don't understand everything. You know, there's so many things that happen in life that we don't understand. You know, we don't really even grasp who God is at times in the way that maybe we could or should. You know, we're on this journey of discovering who he is. You know, Jesus, when the disciples asked him how to pray, he said, when you pray, say, our Father. And the word that he used there in Aramaic is Abba. And that word in English is translated as
Johnny, sorry, we've lost sound.
I know people in church have been working quite hard to get the sound back on, so we'll just give them a couple of minutes so we can hear Johnny.
We are sons and daughters, so we can come to the Father. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we understand who God is, that we understand who we are. So we can ask all kinds of things of God. But then, why is it? Does God really love me? If he really loved me, he'd answer my prayers. If, you know, he really was for me, then things would work out. I wouldn't have all these problems or pressures. But the reality is life is a mystery, isn't it? Life is a challenge. And there are some things that we just need to leave with God and just trust in him. But we have these doubts. We have this, does God really love me? How can I come to him? You know, we come to him as Father, but also we come to him as Lord God Almighty, because Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Holy be his name. So God is not only this Abba Daddy, he's also the Lord God Almighty who made the heavens and the earth. We come to him in that incredible tension. He is the one who's able to do all things. And therefore, when we don't understand it, we trust our Father. We trust our great God. But it's a struggle because we don't get everything. We have these doubts of it. It's a struggle because of our own sinfulness and self-centeredness. You know, the Apostle Paul said, why is it that I don't do the things I know I should do, but I do the things I know I shouldn't do? Because there's an internal struggle that goes on in us. And there's a battle that goes on in the flesh. Jesus said at one time, you know, the body, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there's this battle, and there's this self-centeredness, these selfish desires that come up. You know, Jeff didn't understand why his prayer wasn't answered. I mean, you know, ice cream. I mean, he had a point, didn't he? But seriously, you know, the reality is so many of our prayers are soulish, they're selfish. Is it wrong to pray? That's not evil. It's not wrong. But we shouldn't be shocked when sometimes the motivations of our hearts are very selfish and self-centered. Why is prayer a struggle? It's a struggle because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to pray. Paul in Ephesians 6 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, we have opposing enemy who's trying to pin us to the mat and inflict pain upon us in order that we give up. I think this example of Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, it suggests that when we come to prayer, that we need to be ready for a battle. We need to be ready for a wrestling match. That this isn't just a passive thing that we're involved in at times. That actually this is going to take some work. This is going to take some effort. on our part. When a wrestler gets into the ring, he's focused, he's alert, he's ready. When he gets thrown over the ropes, or when the other guy does a belly flop on him or whatever, he doesn't say, well, that's unfair. Why do you do that? He knows he's in a battle. And the reality is, every single one of us in a battle, we've got an enemy that hates us. And therefore, we need to be prepared to wrestle in prayer. Why is it so important? Because often the blessings of God are released into our lives and the lives of others through prayer. God's peace, his provision and protection, they flow from prayer. I believe that prayer is the work, and that prayer does work. But it does mean that we have to put some work into ourselves. It's so important that we learn to wrestle with God in prayer. If we want to see breakthroughs, who wants to see breakthroughs in their own life? Who wants to see breakthroughs in their family situations, in their relationships? Who wants to see breakthroughs in their churches? Who wants to see people come to faith, lives changed, touched, transformed? Who wants to see breakthrough in our nation, or this country turn back to God? Who wants to see a breakthrough what's happening in Afghanistan at the moment, which is chaos, you know, tragedy? Can these things change? Can God do something about this? Yes, he can. But, you know, amazingly, bizarrely, he chooses to use you and me in order to do it. And he chooses to work through prayer. The weakness of our prayer. Yet so often when the answers don't come or things don't change immediately, we just give up. We think, well, that's, you know, and we're so passive. Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, so often we think that our prayers are weak and insignificant and that God doesn't hear them. Or if he does hear them, he's not interested in them. Yet he does hear. Every single cry of the heart is heard in heaven. Every word we utter is heard in heaven. And it's important. God does hear our prayers and he does answer. No is an answer sometimes. Or wait is an answer. But this parable reminds us of this important truth, that we should keep praying and that we should not lose heart and give up. Why? Well, like that widow, we may be poor and we may be feeble in the world's eyes, but our God is the just judge. He not only hears our prayers, but because of who he is, his nature and his character, he is the wise one. He is good. He's loving. He is sovereign. So why should we not lose heart? And why should we not give up praying? Because although we may feel we're feeble and that we haven't got much to offer, it is about God. When he hears our prayers, he is the one who's perfect. He is the one who is wise and good and loving. And he knows exactly what is needed in every situation. And he will bring about his plans and purposes for us, for our families, for our churches, for our nation, for our world. And he will do it through his people. That's his plan, right from the beginning and the start, that his people would be a blessing to the nations of the world. And one of the ways that we're a blessing is through our prayers and through our actions. At the very beginning of the service today, Sharon shared something about our heart's cry for the folks in Afghanistan. And I'm sure it's shared by all of us. When we see those images on the TV, it's shocking. It's disturbing. We feel helpless. But do you know, through our prayers and working alongside our actions, we can make a difference. So I'd encourage you, talk to Sharon afterwards. Keep praying for that situation and think about what you can practically do. Our prayers do make a difference because God has willed it that way. So keep on keeping on. My hope and our prayer for each one of us is that whatever we're going through, whatever breakthroughs we need, that we would be committed to continue to pray until we see change and transformation come. So my prayer for each of us is that we may know fresh energy and commitment as God's people to this call to wrestle in prayer, because it's going to take effort and it's going to take pain at times, but it will be worth it. No athlete wins the gold medal without some effort and pain. And sometimes we won't see the purpose and plans of God come into being without some effort and some pain in the prayer closet. Amen.